Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Do you ever ask yourself the question, who am I? Do you believe you have a purpose in life? When I hear today's readings, I hear answers to these questions. You do have a purpose in life. You have been given gifts and power, and there are times you are tempted to misuse your power. In our first lesson, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and the Gospel account, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, are two stories central to our faith because they answer the question, who am I? Through metaphor and poetic image, they remind us where we come from and who we are. And these stories are also to point to the power that we have to choose. Adam and Eve were told by God that they were put in the garden for a purpose. They had a mission to till and to keep the garden, to care and to serve. So a relationship with God was born, a relationship built on trust, obedience, and intimacy. This dramatic story describes the consequences, though, of falling into temptation and of not trusting God. The story is simple. Eve was tempted by the serpent. She gave in and ate from the tree of good and evil. Adam joined her, and God got mad. Yet there is much more to the story than that. They misused their power. They didn't trust their purpose for being. And temptation got the better of them and can get the better of us also. Have you ever looked around and if nobody was looking, tried to cheat? Well, there was once a salesman who thought he finally had his chance to make the really big sale. As he was ushered into the office of the executive buyer, an assistant brought coffee and then left the room. The salesman began his presentation and felt he was on a roll. The atmosphere was cordial, and he knew he was giving his best sales pitch ever. He was sure his company would win the contract because of his proposal. Then the assistant knocked on the door, re-entered the office, and spoke briefly with the executive. The executive stood up and said, "I apologize, but I have to tend to a matter. I'll just be a minute or two." And she followed her assistant out of the room. Now the salesman looked around, and while he was waiting for her, saw photographs on her desk. He also noticed a contract on her desk. She had evidently been studying the bid of a competitor. Leaning forward, he could see the column of figures for their final bid, but it was obscured by a diet can of soda. He was tempted to move the can and see the bottom line of his competitor's bid. After wrestling with himself for a while, he finally decided to peek. As he lifted the soda can, he discovered that the can wasn't filled with soda after all. Instead, it was bottomless, and the can was filled with 1,000 tiny BBs, and they gushed out and ran all over the desk and onto the carpet. His attempt to shortcut the competition was exposed. Instead of trusting himself and the power of his presentation, he had succumbed to temptation. Yes, temptation takes many forms. Marietta Anschutz puts it this way. Temptation comes to us when we look at others and feel insecure about not having enough. Temptation comes in judgments we make about strangers or friends who make choices we don't understand. Temptation rages in moments when we allow our temper to define our lives, or when addiction to wealth, power over others, vanity, or inordinate need for control defines who we are. Temptation wins when we engage in the justification of little tiny lies. Little sins, a racist joke, a questionable business practice for the greater good, a criticism of a friend or spouse when they're not around. Temptation wins when we get caught up in the trappings of life and we lose sight of life and who we are and whose we are. In the moment of his baptism, Jesus' identity was revealed. And a voice from heaven said, "He was God's Son, the Beloved, for us." Upon hearing this, Jesus went into the wilderness to deepen his understanding and to face his purpose. But Jesus, the Son of God, refused to be who we think he should be. Jesus would not turn our stones into bread. He would not prove his power, and he would not embrace success. Instead, he remained faithful and countered the devil, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." We are called to serve God and not give in to temptations of neediness, weakness, fears, doubts, impatience, and projections. You do have a purpose for being here, even if you feel quiet and hidden. And so I share the story of Carl. Carl was a quiet man. He didn't talk much. He would always greet you with a big smile and a firm handshake. He was 87 years old when he saw a flyer at church asking for volunteers for caring for a certain garden. Carl signed up. One day, he was finishing watering when three gang members approached him. Ignoring their attempts to intimidate him, he simply asked, "Would you like a drink from the hose?" The tallest and toughest looking of the three said, "Yeah, sure," with a wicked little smile. As Carl offered the hose to him, the other two grabbed Carl's arms, throwing him down. Carl's assailants stole his retirement watch and his wallet and fled. A few weeks later, the three returned. Just as before, Carl offered a drink from his hose. This time, they did not rob him, but they wrenched the hose from his hand and drenched him from head to foot with the cold, icy water. The three gang members left, laughing at one another at what they had just done. And Carl just watched them. Then he turned towards the warmth of the sun, picked up his hose, and went on watering. A few weeks later, Carl was tilling the ground when he was startled by the sudden approach of someone behind him. He stumbled and fell into an evergreen bush. As he struggled to regain his footing, he turned to see the tall leader of the gang, reaching down for him. He braced himself for the expected attack. "Don't worry, old man. I'm not going to hurt you this time." The young man said it softly, almost embarrassed, still offering the tattooed and scarred hand to Carl. As he helped Carl get up, the man pulled a crumpled bag from his pocket and handed it to Carl. "What's this?" Carl asked. "It's your stuff," the man said. "It's your stuff, even the money in your wallet." "But I don't understand," Carl said. "Why would you help me now?" The man, ill at ease, said, "I learned something from you. You were old, and we knew we could get away with hurting you. But every time we came and did something to you, instead of yelling and fighting back, you tried to give us a drink. You didn't hate us for hating you. You kept showing love against our hate." And with that, he walked off down the street. Carl died that winter. At his funeral, the minister noticed a tall young man that he didn't know sitting quietly in a distant corner of the church. The minister spoke of Carl's garden as a lesson in life. Do your best and make your garden as beautiful as it can be. We will never forget Carl and his garden. Now, the following spring, another flyer went up. It read, "Person needed to care for Carl's garden." One day, there was a knock at the minister's office door. The minister saw a pair of scarred and tattooed hands holding the flyer. "I believe this is my job, if you'll have me," the young man said. The minister sensed Carl's kindness had turned this man's life around. So the minister handed him the keys to the garden shed and said, "Okay, go take care of Carl's garden and honor him." The man went to work, and over the next several years, he tended the garden as Carl had done. And during that time, he went to college and got married. One day, he approached a new minister and told him that he could not care for the garden any longer. He explained with a shy but happy smile, "My wife just had a baby boy last night, and we're bringing him home on Saturday." "Well, congratulations," said the minister. "That's wonderful. What's the baby's name?" "Carl," he replied. I invite you, as we begin this season of Lent, to ponder these questions. Who am I meant to be in God's world? What is my purpose in life? What gifts and power have I been given? How am I using them in my one precious life? Amen.